Okay, Proverbs 8 and 9. It's Wednesday, January 6th, 2010.
All day
long. 2010. It's hard to put in that 2010. All right. We started 8 and 9, and we're down to basically verse 7 on chapter 8, Proverbs 8. But we looked in the first part there, kind of a call back to wisdom. Wisdom's out there. Wisdom's in the heights and the paths and the gates, the entrances, openings of the city, all that we see through verse 4. And that's telling us what? Where is wisdom?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. It's accessible, isn't it? Is it going to be hard work to find wisdom? No. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? So that's an opening part there to tell us that it's available, calling us, wants us. Now, 4, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men, on evil ones understand prudence, and O fools understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips reveal right things. He's making a call, understand this wisdom, to naive and the fools. He's saying that these things are noble, they're right. What's the idea? If you tell somebody it's noble, it's a good thing, isn't it? Okay? Something to be achieved, not a minor point. And if you want to say princely or kingly or something noble in that fashion, okay, that's fine too. But that's something, I think I'll take a second look at this. And right things. Reveal right things through lips. We've talked over and over and over about the idea that God is communicating through words to us, to appeal to our brains, to our hearts, to understanding. He's given us that ability. So he's always appealing that way, and telling us what steps, what if we're in a predicament, what's going to happen, what may or may not happen when we're in it. Okay. Now, so we're going to transition now in verse 7. For my mouth will utter truth. Truth, interesting word. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterance of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing crooked or perverted in them. They're all straightforward to him who understands. And right to those who find knowledge. Now, in those 7, 8, and 9, words are truth. Words are righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverted. All is straightforward. All is right. Is that encouraging? Something to look into? That's what he's always trying to do. Okay? It's why in the world would you want something that is not right, is crooked, is not straightforward? And he put in the front of this, all wickedness and abomination to my lips. Okay? In other words, out of his mouth comes nothing wrong, does it? Everything's right. So those are things that should encourage us. Now, verse 10. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. What's the point? Someone in the world looking at this, or someone every day looking at it. We've got things that are precious, is the comparison. Material things, if you want to say it, okay? You don't have to have jewels or gold to be something precious to you, do you?
It could be valuable, too.
Sure. Something you...
Because yeah. Wisdom is valuable.
Profitable. You know, it is for profit. You know, this mm-hmm. That's why he's talking about this. It is for our good.
Does it portray, too, a choice, this instruction and knowledge and wisdom in this comparison? Does it give you an idea of the quality of the words? Because you push quality, don't you, when you think of gold and silver and jewels? Because they're separate from a rock and an emerald are different, aren't they? Sort of. Okay? Or a diamond and something else. Even within diamonds. I've seen that now. All the different classes of diamonds and colors and imperfections. And it goes on and on and on when you start choosing a diamond. All right? So it's a, you know, it's, leave it up to ladies, okay? Just pay it, all right? So it's amazing, all right? Now, interesting, the last part of that, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. All desirable things. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? Desirable things. And there's a compare with her. Her's her again? What's her?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, isn't it? Okay.
And I find it interesting to word, to use the word desirable, because to desire is to seek after, you know, to look upon something so as to seek after it, and he's going to deal with the seeking of it. And so, you know, it's not just to look upon it, you know, and think it's valuable, but something that you desire, long for, that you do whatever to
seek after.
To get it.
Sure. Yeah. And it doesn't say it here, but these things up here are above it here. This is what one of wisdom would desire, these things, what God would want. But we just went over some words up here that truth, untruth, righteousness, crooked or perverted, something crooked and perverted, something that's not straightforward. See, is what a fool does out there, one not seeking the wisdom of God. That's their desirable things, isn't it? All right? And some of them just live their lives that way. So really, this whole little section to me looks like an idea of a motivation. Here's your choice in material goods and that sort of thing. So choose the things. This ought to motivate you to choose what is right. Okay? And the idea of being valuable. Now, in 12, I, wisdom, okay, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Wisdom, this dwell with prudence, you live, and I use the word for prudence, so I got cautious judgment. Okay? Maybe a restrained judgment, or you don't act real quick on it. And I find knowledge and discretion. Discretion is that choosing. So within all this, we discern life. We're looking at life. We're looking out there and seeing what's going on. Here's gold and here's silver. Here's knowledge and wisdom. Here's the idea of material. How do material things affect us? Where is truth? Knowing all the time that wickedness is an abomination, okay, to God. Now, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and perverted mouth I hate. Okay? Abomination, yeah, that's pretty strong. Hate strong too, isn't it? What happens to wisdom when you have this respect for God, this appreciation for God, and you know that leads you to hate evil because he hates evil. But it's wrapped up in pride and arrogance and perverted mouth. How is pride and arrogance and perverted mouth, how does that divert you from God? What does pride and arrogance do?
That you're better.
Yeah, it elevates self,
you
doesn't
more
it?
Than, yeah.
That's right, okay? I think we talked about that. You said self. That is selfishness, isn't it? Okay? God is second place.
Everything is second place.
Well, my wisdom can compete with God's. We'll just see what the situation is. All right? That sort of thing. And especially the fear of the Lord, to hate evil. And he hates it. So we've seen some pretty good words here about this idea. But can you have pride in things?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Just not too much.
Well, let's just see how you place pride. Can you have material goods?
Yes.
Materials? Sure you can. What do you do with it? Okay? What do you do with material things? How does it reprioritize you? See? Not at all. I don't want to deal with not having these things. Now, perverted mouth, I'm not going to deal with that, okay? Because you shouldn't have that. Now, here's something interesting in this next little section, 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. This council here, is it important to whom? Should be important to whom? This list of people here, kings and rulers, those in leadership positions, is the counsel of God, counsel from the L-O-R-D, is it good to have that kind of counsel? Yes.
And also, it includes just anyone who wants to judge rightly.
Yes.
It's not talking about judges. You know, it's talking about anyone who's going to make, who's going to discern, who's going to judge rightly.
In particularly rulers and kings and things like that, right. Because what kind of rulers and kings, or an IRS attorney, okay, or what can it do to you, okay? They can make your life pretty miserable, can't they? And we're talking kings, life and death. Life and death. Separation of families. See? So God's always wanting from, I'll say top to bottom, okay, in influence and power, to live by wisdom. Can power seduce people?
Yes.
Sure.
It surely can it? Okay.
Power corrupts.
Yes.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Is there always people going to be in power in the governments that God has ordained and set up? Sure.
Yeah.
And all we're dealing here with is wisdom in dealing with that power. Where do you seek your counsel? See? All right?
But this one, the power that you can have through God's counsel is good power. We all have power. And so power is mine. If we take the counsel and the sound wisdom, we have the power to make wise judgments for ourselves, to influence our families, to influence our community, the power to even within ourselves to know that no matter if the king makes a bad judgment, we can overcome, you know, that the Lord is still in control. You understand?
Yes.
Okay.
Do each of us exert power every day?
Yes.
In every situation, don't you? I'm using that word, okay? Somebody say, well, influence, I exert influence, okay? But you do, don't you? Okay? Even to extract a discipline, you do. And we've got to watch that use of power and have it led by wise counsel. Okay? All judge should judge rightly. All right. In verse 17, and look forward there, interesting. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Love here is defined by diligently seeking me, who will find me. That kind of goes up to the first part where wisdom is everywhere, isn't it? Calling out, okay, in the streets and the corners and the gateways and high places and everything else. And if you seek me diligently, interesting word, you will find me. What's that? I think it's a promise, isn't it? Okay, it's an assurance. And if you want to find me, you'll find me. Okay? Because I am available. All right. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. Kind of harking back to what we were just saying, wasn't it, about the preciousness and that sort of thing. But here we're comparing the idea of honor is brought into it. And enduring wealth and prosperity. To me, this may be talking a little bit about, especially when we get down to 21, the idea that there may be some wealth involved. My fruit is better than gold. What's fruit? What comes out of your actions, isn't it? Those things that are good fruit or bad fruit. Let it come out of your actions. Better than that, my yield better than choice of silver. 20. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those with love and wealth, that I may fill their treasuries.
King James says, I lead in the way of righteousness.
Okay.
And that's a little bit different connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good, because we're talking wisdom leading, isn't it? Okay? To be your lamp, your way. And it's back to these words of path, isn't it? Path and walk. And lead. all these things about as we go through life, what is right, what is fair.
The end of 21, that I may fill their treasuries, makes me think of you know, that when that what we lay up, you know, what's in our heart is what we will lay up, our treasure will be, you know, like, and it's not really monetary stuff.
To endow, verse 21, to endow those with, who love me with wealth, those who diligently seek me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries.
But I don't think that's literal.
It may or may not be. One who is, it may, there's a lot of, to your account, if I could say that, such a thing, okay? Good things are listed, good works God puts in the book of life. All things are in there. But those are things to your account. Not that it's going to guarantee heaven or not. But those cause one to live in life as if you're wealthy, I guess. Okay? Can you be poor and feel good about your life? Yes.
As long as you're honorable.
Yes. That's really key,
isn't it? Talking about being spiritual.
Exactly right. Yeah. Okay?
I think in verses 18 to consider, riches and honor, enduring wealth, I lead or I walk in the way of righteousness, that righteousness and the paths of justice are the riches and the honor. And down in 35, he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. To me, and sort of going along with the same thoughts, the riches, the honors, the wealth is righteousness, paths of justice, life, versus those who hate me love death.
And we have an interesting word in verse 18. It says enduring wealth. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know wealth is fleeting, isn't it?
Yeah. Which leads me away from
that's right. Yeah. Okay, so there's things in life that are worth more than silver and gold. Okay, good character, honorable actions, treating one's neighbor fine. Honoring God in any way you can, helping neighbor or not. So, let's see. Okay. So, and the idea of treasure and wealth and gold and silver is all those things that are valuable, aren't they, is the point. Okay? Treasure, want wisdom, strive after wisdom, seek after it. Okay? And walk in those paths of justice and lead in the way of righteousness. All right. 22, interesting transition here. And a shift, but it's still those things that we need to consider when we're going to choose God or wisdom and the things from God to guide our everyday activities. And what's going to give us confidence in these next few verses that we should trust these words? Well, let's see the originator of these words. 22 starts off, the Lord, L-O-R-D, possessed me at the beginning of His way before His works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While He had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. Okay? What's going on here? Creation, isn't it? Okay? Wisdom was there when He brought forth all this deep water. And when we're going to look, that's going to continue in a minute. But if you know the originator of this wisdom did these things in creation, and wisdom was there, from everlasting I was established from the beginning, then what does that do for you when you look at these words of wisdom? What's it doing mentally to you? How much do you value these words? We just talk about value in gold and silver. Do you tend to trust them a little more? Because now you can see the physical things around you, can't you? Okay? You can see it adds credibility is what it does to these words of wisdom. When you know that the originator of these words of wisdom created Interesting. All right. Now, let's see, 27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, I'm going to add a few words, I was there. When he made firm the skies above, I was there. When the springs of the deep became fixed, I was there. When he set for the sea its boundary, I was there. See the idea? Same idea again, isn't it? Either there's creation, now he's establishing things. Okay? Springs are fixed. Set a boundary. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Interesting. Inscribe the circle. Think of those words in just a second. All right? 29. When he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman. And I'll just stop right there. And those words are marked out. Those words, not transgress my command. Set a boundary. The deep was fixed. Firm the skies. Inscribe the circle. What's the idea?
He's in control.
In control. And he set what?
Limits.
Uh-huh. Boundaries. Right and wrong, I guess you could say. All right? And look at creation. That when he put all this together, he set boundaries. He set limitations. He set restrictions. He set freedoms. Okay?
It works. You know, the circles and everything they're finding now, even in the deep and everything, it has to do with gravity. It has to do with the way that the earth turns and everything. You know, I mean, he said that.
Yeah.
They're seeing.
Yeah,
lies.
These are used here, the idea that even from the earliest writings, God's wisdom showed that he was creator because those things scientifically come through. But my point is, if he can set those things in creation, does he not have the power to set our behavioral limitations? If these things are working the way they should, and they do, okay?
Define behavioral limitations.
Well, everyday activities in wisdom, guided by wisdom.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, we look out and see all.
There's no limit to your behavior unless you control that limit.
Right. That's right. But for us to say mentally to ourselves, you know, God has said, treat a neighbor this way. Don't lie. We're going to see scales and things like that coming up. But we've seen here. So, don't have perverted speech. Those are limits and boundaries. And if you can see it in creation, you believe that, why shouldn't I have confidence in that? Say, for my life. Interesting. Okay? And then 30. Then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always with him. What's wisdom here? What's the disposition of wisdom?
Partner.
Okay? Master workman. Not the creator, but a workman, right? See? Helping to guide and put things together. And that's in Christ. Some people want to put Christ in, but it's not. Okay? But the point of rejoicing always with him, rejoicing in the world, his earth. There's a celebration here. And you can see that wisdom is not opposed to anything of God. Works in conjunction. Makes things come to what they should be. Their purpose, intended purpose, should be done. The fulfillment of their destiny, I guess you'd say. Alright? So there's some rejoicing going on, having delight in the sons of men. When does he have delight in the sons of men? When they do what? I'm reading into it. When they follow wisdom, right? Sure. Okay? And let's see. 32. Now we're going to sum up. After you said all that. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my way. That idea of paths and ways is still there. 33. Verse 33. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it, yet my ways. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. Now, listen to me. Heed my instruction. Do not neglect. How do you do that? You keep my ways. You be wise. Blessed is the man who listens to me and watches daily at my posts. Okay? Wisdom starts with listening. Happy, blessed, whatever it is. The same idea with you. You can be happy, blessed, delight. Dispositions of mind. Waiting at my doorpost. 35. For he who finds me finds life. Obtains favor from the Lord. We see life over and over and over. That's a good word to mark. Okay? Favor, delight, life. We've seen before the idea of pleasant life, a rewarding life, content life. All right, if you live by wisdom. Because you know the creator of everything. So originated that wisdom that we can live by each day. All right? Things we can see. But in the converse of that in 36, but he who sins, you got the word sin, Sally, there? Against me injures himself?
ETH.
Huh? Sinner. Sinner. ETH. Okay, sins, etc.
Sinneth.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. But he sinneth against me, injures himself. All those who hate me love death. We've seen that before, that when you sin against me, you injure yourself. We saw before that in violence, you live by violence, you're going to die by violence. You don't sleep well because you're afraid. That's the idea of contentment and pleasant life. And those who hate me love death. This may be the physical part, maybe the idea of separating, like we've seen before, Hades, seeing things like that. All right, but didn't use the word Hades here. The point is, though, when you miss that mark, there's an end game, which we talked about before, and you act like you love death. You act like you love separation, okay, from what is wise. And there's only an end to that. And so, if God loves life, so sinners must love death because they hate wisdom. Okay? And that's a disposition that we shouldn't have at any time. All right. That's chapter 8. Good points there. Yes, who?
I was just going to say, and this would be kind of weird, but for 35 verses, he talks about us heeding wisdom and having value in wisdom and seeking wisdom.
Upbeat.
For 35 verses, mm-hmm. And then that one verse 36 is so blunt. And like a slap in the face, it just takes one verse to really
interesting, isn't it?
Wake you up.
Interesting, yeah. Isn't it? And he's told you through here, even the idea of the word abomination and hate is put in, okay? But those are things to motivate and help us at the bottom. Here's the end game again, which he does in a lot of Proverbs before we sing. He puts at the end, Hades and death and that sort of thing. That's a little prelude, a little bit interesting.
Kind of put you in your place.
Yes. When we get to 10 on, chapters 10 on, which I've asked you to start reading, looking at that, you're going to find a little Proverbs, maybe just two verses, or one verse. And, dude, that don't fit with the rest of that. Well, you're going to see a lot of that. Please be reading ahead. All right? So that's 8. And 9 is going to close out this, really the section here of some with some order and consequence to it. Again, Proverbs 9. It's still back to the old thing about do you choose wisdom or folly? And folly is no more than just acts of foolishness. Okay? When you act foolishness, that's folly. And here you, in this chapter 9, you've got which teacher do you want to learn under? And even what kind of hearer do you want to be? It's going to come up. So I'd be thinking of what teacher do you want to be taught by, and what kind of a hearer do you want to be? All right? And this is kind of this wisdom's invitation, a positive chapter, more or less. Some of it isn't. But the point is, this is kind of like the final appeal, you know, to study, to learn, to discern, to absorb these things of wisdom. Now, wisdom is what? Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. What's going on?
The banquet.
The banquet. That's right. That's right. I don't want to say party. I'm going to say banquet. Okay? I'm going to say there's a palace here, maidens and that sort of thing. She's prepared it. She's got a house. It's not just some street corner here. Okay? And that may be the order and planning and something solid you can depend on. Seven pillars. What's seven in the Bible? Numerology is a great study to look at sometimes if you look at it.
Completeness.
Okay? Completeness. All right? 7 days of creation. Okay? So you would see that this is a very good house. She's put the liquid and the meat and the food, not just crackers and something else. What was it? Bread in one of the others we saw? Okay? And then she sent their maidens out and she called from the tops of the heights of the city. She invites all. See the idea? Nothing hidden about it. Same thing we've seen before, a little different tone to it. All right? And she says in verse 4, whoever's naive, let him turn in here. His maiden saying, to him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live. And proceed in the way of understanding. The word live again. What's the idea? What's she beckoning? Is it pleasant? What's she saying? Do you want to be part of this? Yes. Okay. Is it selective?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily at all. Okay. But she's always after the ones that need more help than others.
Isn't it for those who want to respect their folly?
Yes, so the ones who are not living. Yes, that's right. The ones who are not living in wisdom. See? So God seeks all, doesn't He? He wants all to come to Him. All. Okay? There's room for all. See, room and house. See? Okay? And so it's a call and invitation, a banquet. Yes, go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Let's see. And the idea of six, forsake your folly and live, proceed in the way of understanding. Live is again a word, and folly is contrasted here. Now, in verse 7, this is where I see a teacher coming in now. What does a teacher do? He who corrects a scoffer or a mocker gets dishonor for himself. And he who proves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Oh, so if you reprove a wicked man, you get insults? Where does it come from, though?
The wicked man.
The wicked man. All right. So you know you've got to somebody when they're, you know, talking bad of you, I guess. Okay? He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. From who? Scoffer. Okay? So when you teach sometimes, what kind of reverse words come back to you sometimes? Not some of them aren't pleasant, are they? All right. Let's see.
Well, and it's kind of like the pearls before swine thing. Sometimes you have to pick. Yeah, if you just. Sometimes you just know. If there's somebody that's not going to listen to you, you might as well save your breath.
Try, though. Try. Especially if you have opportunity. And, yeah, there's a point to walk away. I understand that. Okay? I understand. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. That breaks my heart, doesn't it? Let's reprove. Here's the things you need to correct in your life, isn't it? Okay? One who mocks. Reprove a wise man, he will what?
Person. Love you.
Love you. Now.
You also listen to what you have to say.
Yes. And we've seen that before. A wise man seeks more wisdom, don't they? That's a mark of a wise person, isn't it?
And an open heart.
Yes. Okay. And give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Now, these things about the scoffer and the wise, what does that show you about them? When someone corrects them, someone discusses their actions with them, okay, as a teacher might, okay, or preacher, whoever it is.
One will take criticism, the other one won't.
Yes. Do people show their character? Receive instruction, don't they?
Absolutely.
Okay? Sometimes we can overreact. Why overreact? Okay? You overreacted in that. And how do we take that? See? We weigh it, think about it, have wise counsel, all right? And then we act on it, y'all. Okay? Is everything somebody tells you that corrects you, are they right? No, that's why you sound judgment and prudence, okay? See? And how you react to it.
We think about it before you react.
Yeah, we try, yes. Okay? And is there anything converse about this when you're going to talk to someone about correcting them? Do you correct people right on the spot? Or do you contemplate a little bit sometimes?
Sometimes
you pick your moments, don't you?
Well, sometimes you have to do it right
there. That's
right.
God
did to Peter. Right there.
Yeah.
In front of God and everybody.
Literally. That's right. Okay. So we need to be careful how we react to correction. All right? The best thing is just listen, clarify the point sometimes too. Someone's saying something. Now let me get this straight. What were you saying? It's always good to go back and, you know, what you tell me, and I'll tell you what you told me.
I think it's basically saying that a wise man takes constructive criticism.
Yes. Yes. He takes it. Okay?
And a prudent person is cautious about giving instruction or constructive criticism.
Yes. Yes. All right. 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We've seen that before, haven't we? Okay? We need to value, respect, and awe for God. And when you get this knowledge and wisdom, you need to put it into good use. Okay? It's a reflection of our respect for God and fear of God. Okay. 11. For by me your days were multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. Is there a reward to fear in the Lord, living in wisdom and understanding? You see it now. I think this may be the idea of health here. I'm not sure. For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. You've seen some studies out here that people have who have good marriages, people have are content in life, sleep at least 6 hours a night. Okay, those kind of things, eat well. Have confidence when they walk each day that they're doing the right things. Is there less ulcers? Okay. No, there is less ulcers. There's less problems in their physical health. No guarantee.
Yeah.
The Proverbs says
lots of good people that
that's
have
right.
ill health.
But Proverbs generally says if you do those studies thing here, for many your days, your month, and years, your life will be added to you. It's good for you.
It's a general
position. It's right. We can see that. Okay? And again, there's some studies you see that too. All right. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. That's really interesting here. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. Is that selfishness? No, it's a benefit for you, isn't it? If you're wise, you benefit. You're wise for yourself because in the actions that you give. See? And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. If you mock, just in reference to this life and health and this sort of thing, you alone will bear it. As a what? As a liability, isn't it? As a mark against you. You'll bear it. It's kind of a negative tone here. And you know, this sort of thing, you've got to choose to be wise or a mocker. This responsibility is for you alone. Because in the end day, after we die, am I judged for my actions only? Yes, yes. Okay, not some group I was a part of.
No.
Not who you're married to.
Who you're married to, okay. How good you were, say, how good, how what someone thought about you at the funeral, what they said, whatever it is, you alone, okay. And the wise and the scoffers are going to have that, bear that themselves, singular. All right. 13. A little different here, going back to our favorite person. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high place of the city, calling to those who pass by who are making their paths straight. Now, we're going back to who now?
Naive.
A woman of folly. A foolish woman. I want to say adulterer, I guess I could. Okay? Harlot, we could. But the point is here, this woman of folly, okay, is boisterous and loud. We've seen that before. She's naive. She knows nothing about what? About the words of understanding, does she? Wisdom. We've seen before, she just lives for the moment. She just moves through life quickly, loudly, taking what she can get. She sits the way of her house and sees the high place of the city. Where is she? She's accessible, isn't she? Okay? She doesn't hide her in the house and put a sign up. She sits at high places, visible. Call to those who pass by who are making their path straight. That's the interesting part there. I was reading about that. She calls those who are making their path straight.
Distracts them from what they're doing.
Who makes their path straight, we've seen?
Righteous.
Good people. Okay?
The wives.
We've seen before, that's right, we've seen before calling naive, haven't we? See, now, if you're going down, you're living life straight, making your path straight, and she's going to call to you. Okay? You're walking uprightly, so don't be aware. Be aware that if you're doing right, you're still going to get approached, I guess you'd say. All right? That those things are unwise and foolish, and distraction, or even this idea of harlotry or whatever it is.
Well, that's who the devil goes after.
That's right. It's like you always told people, once you're, you know, come out of the waters of salvation, the devil's really going to be after you now. He had you before, now he's really going to be after you.
It's like 1 Corinthians 10:12, where it says, therefore let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Exactly right. So always on guard. Flee immorality. Run from it. Okay? But seek wisdom. Alright. 16. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says. So what in the world, in verse 17, does she say? Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.
Sinning's fun.
Yeah. Is there an appeal?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This is specifically adulterous.
Yeah, I think infidelity, I'm going to say infidelity, okay?
So you think this is the same as the woman over here in chapter 4 and, you know, in chapter 7? Or is this just folly versus wisdom? Wisdom has her house, folly has, you know, mm-hmm, has her mm-hmm. hall.
We're going to see a reference to that in his guest coming up in 18.
Okay. So
does folly, okay, in that context, folly, foolish actions, do they have an appeal to them? Sure. Okay. And verse 16 now. And the last verse, but he who does not know the dead are there, that their guests are in the depths of Sheol. We're back to that point about death and Sheol. That her guests come out of house, aren't we? They're inviting them in, the guests, to the banquet. Mm-hmm. And but he who does not know the dead are there. the idea that these offer of pleasure without telling of the consequences. I'm going to invite you in, but I don't tell you the consequences. All right? That's an appeal. All right? So, that's 18. And then we'll do the question, lesson 4, going into 10 next time.